America, center of equal daughters, equal sons, all alike and dear, grown, ungrown, young or old, strong, ample, fair, enduring, capable, rich, perennial with the earth, with freedom, law, and love.
This is Catherine Hastings, and you're listening to Word Temple. You just heard a recording of Walt Whitman himself reading from his poem, America. Tonight's show features excerpts from Leaves of Grass by that great American poet. Whitman was born on May 31, 1819. He lived with his parents, along with eight brothers and sisters, in Brooklyn and Long Island during the 1820s and 30s. It was at the age of 12 when Whitman began to learn the printer's trade that he fell in love with the written word. He was a voracious reader, and his self-studies included Homer, Dante, Shakespeare, and the Bible. He worked as a printer in New York City until the printing district was destroyed in a fire. When he was 17, he started teaching in Long Island. In 1841, Whitman returned to journalism and founded a newspaper, The Long Islander, and edited other papers. It was when he left New York to become editor of the New Orleans Crescent that he experienced the hideous and cruel realm of slavery. When he returned to New York in 1848, he founded a free soil newspaper, the Brooklyn Freeman, and continued to develop his unique style of poetry. The Free Soil Party, by the way, was a short-lived political party active in the 1848 and 1852 presidential elections. Its main purpose was to oppose the expansion of slavery into the Western territories, arguing that free men on free soil comprised a morally and economically superior system to slavery. Free Soilers didn't try to abolish existing slavery, but hoped that by disallowing it to spread west, the practice would eventually die out. Walt Whitman took out a copyright of the first edition of Leaves of Grass, which consisted of 12 untitled poems and a preface, and published the book himself, sending a copy to Ralph Waldo Emerson in 1855. Emerson sent him a long letter praising the book. Whitman continued to refine it and published several more editions. When the Civil War broke out, Whitman vowed to live a purged and cleansed life. He wrote freelance journalism, visited the war wounded in hospitals, and went to Washington, D.C. to take care of his own brother, who had been wounded in the war. He was overcome by the suffering he found in the hospital there, and stayed for 11 years taking a job as clerk for the Department of Interior, a job he lost when the Secretary of the Interior, James Harlan, discovered that Whitman was the author of Leaves of Grass, a work he found deeply offensive, and Whitman was fired. Whitman continued on in Washington, living on a clerk's salary and modest royalties, and he spent any money he felt he didn't need on supplies for the patients he helped care for. In the early 1870s, Whitman moved to his mother's home in Camden to be with her while she was dying. He had a stroke while there and was unable to return to Washington. He stayed until the 1882 publication of Leaves of Grass gave him enough money to buy his own home in Camden. There he spent his last years working on revisions to a new edition of the book and preparing his final volume of poems and prose, Goodbye, My Fancy, which was published in 1891. Whitman died on March 26, 1892. I'm going to play a number of Whitman's poems performed by Ed Begley Sr., including I Hear America Singing, selections from Song of Myself, which include I Celebrate Myself, A Child Said What Is the Grass, Who Goes There, I Think I Could Turn and Live with the Animals, and The Spotted Hawk Swoops By and Accuses Me, followed by Song of the Open Road, and then just part of the long poem When Lilacs Last in the Dooryard Bloomed. First, here are Hugo Vasquez and Mario Avila performing Oda a Whitman, a poem by Federico Garcia Lorca.
duerme a orillas del Hudson, con la barba hacia el polo y las manos abiertas. Arcilla blanda o nieve, tu lengua está llamando, camaradas que velen, tu gacela sin cuerpo. Danza de muros agita las praderas y América se anega de máquinas y llanto. Quiero que el viento fuerte de la noche más y letras del arco donde duermes. No queda nada, no queda nada. A los blancos del oro, la llegada del reino de la espiga. Y un niño negro anuncie a los blancos del oro, la llegada del reino de la espiga.
I hear America singing. The varied carols I hear, those of mechanics, each one singing his as it should be, blithe and strong. The carpenter singing his as he measures his plank or beam. The mason singing his as he makes ready for work or leaves off work. The boatman singing what belongs to him in his boat. The deckhand singing on the steamboat deck. The shoemaker singing as he sits on his bench. The hatter singing as he stands. The woodcutter's song. The plowboy's on his way in the morning, or at noon intermission, or at sundown. The delicious singing of the mother, or of the young wife at work, or of the girl sewing or washing. Each singing what belongs to him or her and to none else. The day, what belongs to the day. At night, the party of young fellows, robust, friendly, singing with open mouths their strong, melodious songs. I celebrate myself and sing myself, and what I assume, you shall assume. For every atom belonging to me, as good belongs to you. I loaf and invite my soul. I lean and loaf at my ease, observing a spear of summer grass. My tongue, every atom of my blood, formed from this soil, this air, born here of parents born here, from parents the same, and their parents the same. I, now 37 years old, in perfect health, begin, hoping to cease not till death. Creeds and schools in abeyance, retiring back a while, sufficed at what they are, but never forgotten. I harbor for good or bad, I permit to speak at every hazard, nature, without check, with original energy. A child said, "What is the grass?" Fetching it to me with full hands. How could I answer the child? I do not know what it is any more than he. I guess it must be the flag of my disposition, out of hopeful green stuff woven. Or I guess it is the handkerchief of the Lord, a scented gift and remembrancer designedly dropped, bearing the owner's name somewhere in the corners, that we may see and remark and say, "Who?" Or, I guess, the grass is itself a child, the produced babe of the vegetation. Or, I guess, it is a uniform hieroglyphic, and it means sprouting alike in broad zones and narrow zones, growing among black folks as among white, Canuck, Tuckahoe, Congressman, Cuff. I give them the same, I receive them the same. And now it seems to me the beautiful, uncut hair of graves. Tenderly will I use you, curling grass. It may be you transpire from the breasts of young men. Maybe, if I had known them, I would have loved them. It may be you are from old people, or from offspring taken soon out of their mother's laps, and here you are the mother's laps. The grass is very dark to be from the white heads of old mothers, darker than the colorless beards of old men, dark to come from under the faint red roofs of mouths. Oh, I perceive, after all, so many uttering tongues, and I perceive they do not come from roofs of mouths for nothing. I wish I could translate the hints about the dead young men and women, and the hints about old men and mothers, and the offspring taken soon out of their laps. What do you think has become of the young and old men? And what do you think has become of the women and children? They are alive and well somewhere. The smallest sprout shows there is really no death. And if ever there was, it led forward life and does not wait at the end to arrest it and ceased the moment life appeared. All goes onward and outward. Nothing collapses. And to die is different from what anyone supposed, and luckier. Who goes there, hankering, gross, mystical, nude? How is it I extract strength from the beef I eat? What is a man anyhow? What am I? What are you? All I mark as my own, you shall offset it with your own, else it were time lost listening to me. I do not snivel that snivel the world over, that months are vacuums and the ground but wallow and filth. whimpering and truckling, fold with powders for invalids. Conformity goes to the fourth removed. I wear my hat as I please, indoors or out. Why should I pray? Why should I venerate and be ceremonious? Having pried through the strata, analyzed to a hair, counseled with doctors, and calculated close, I find no sweeter fat than sticks to my own bones. In all people I see myself, none more, and not one a barleycorn less. And the good or bad I say of myself, I say of them. I know I am solid and sound. To me the converging objects of the universe perpetually flow. All are written to me, and I must get what the writing means. I know I am deathless. I know this orbit of mine cannot be swept by a carpenter's compass. I know I shall not pass like a child's curlicue cut with a burnt stick at night. I know I am august. I do not trouble my spirit to vindicate itself or be understood. I see that the elementary laws never apologize. I reckon I behave no prouder than the level I plant my house by after all. I exist as I am, that is enough. If no other in the world be aware, I sit content. And if each and all be aware, I sit content. One world is aware, and by far the largest to me, and that is myself. And whether I come to my own today, or in 10,000 or 10 million years, I can cheerfully take it now, or with equal cheerfulness, I can wait. My foothold is tenoned and mortised in granite. I laugh at what you call dissolution, and I know the amplitude of time. I think I could turn and live with animals. They're so placid and self-contained. I stand and look at them long and long. They do not sweat and whine about their condition. They do not lie awake in the dark and weep for their sins. They do not make me sick discussing their duty to God. Not one is dissatisfied. Not one is demented with the mania of owning things. Not one kneels to another, nor to his kind that lived thousands of years ago. Not one is respectable or unhappy over the whole earth. So they show their relations to me, and I accept them. They bring me tokens of myself. They evince them plainly in their possession. I wonder where they get those tokens. Did I pass that way huge times ago and negligently drop them? Myself moving forward then and now and forever, gathering and showing more always and with velocity, infinite and omnigenous, and the like of these among them. Not too exclusive toward the reachers of my remembrancers, picking out here one that I love, and now go with him on brotherly terms. A gigantic beauty of a stallion, fresh and responsive to my caresses, head high in the forehead, wide between the ears, limbs glossy and supple, tail dusting the ground, eyes full of sparkling wickedness, ears finely cut, flexibly moving. His nostrils dilate as my heels embrace him. His well-built limbs tremble with pleasure as we race around and return. I but use you a minute. Then I resign you, stallion. Why do I need your paces when I myself outgallop them, even as I stand or sit, passing faster than you? The spotted hawk swoops by and accuses me. He complains of my gab and my loitering. I, too, am not a bit tamed. I, too, am untranslatable. I sound my barbaric yawp over the roofs of the world. The last scud of day holds back for me. It flings my likeness after the rest, and true as any on the shadowed wilds. It coaxes me to the vapor in the dusk. I depart as air. I shake my white locks at the runaway sun. I effuse my flesh in eddies and drift it in lacy jags. I bequeath myself to the dirt to grow from the grass I love. If you want me again, look for me under your boot soles. You will hardly know who I am or what I mean, but I shall be good health to you nevertheless, and filter and fiber your blood. Failing to fetch me at first, keep encouraged. Missing me one place, search another. I stop somewhere, waiting for you.
This is Catherine Hastings, and you're listening to Word Temple on KRCB 91.1 FM. Tonight's show features excerpts from Leaves of Grass by the great American poet Walt Whitman. The poems are performed by Ed Begley Sr. on the Cademan CD, Essential Walt Whitman. Let's return now for more poems. Up next are the long poems, Song of the Open Road, and When Lilacs Last in the Dooryard Bloomed.
Afoot and light-hearted, I take to the open road. Healthy, free, the world before me. The long brown path before me, leading wherever I choose. Henceforth I ask not good fortune. I myself am good fortune. Henceforth I whimper no more, postpone no more, need nothing. Done with indoor complaints, libraries, querulous criticisms. Strong and content, I travel the open road. The earth, that is sufficient. I do not want the constellations any nearer. I know they are very well where they are. I know they suffice for those who belong to them. Still here, I carry my old delicious burdens. I carry them, men and women, I carry them with me wherever I go. I swear it is impossible for me to get rid of them. I am filled with them, and I will fill them in return. You, road, I enter upon and look around. I believe you are not all that is here. I believe that much unseen is also here. Here, the profound lesson of reception, nor preference, nor denial. The black with his woolly head, the felon, the diseased, the illiterate person are not denied. The birth, the hasting after the physician, the beggar's tramp, the drunkard's stagger, the laughing party of mechanics, the escaped youth, the rich person's carriage, the fop, the eloping couple, the early market man, the hearse, the moving of furniture into the town, the return back from the town, they pass. I also pass. Anything passes. None can be interdicted. None but are accepted. None but shall be dear to me. You air that serves me with breath to speak. You objects that call from diffusion my meanings and give them shape. You light that wraps me and all things in delicate equable showers. You paths worn in the irregular hollows by the roadsides. I believe you are latent with unseen existences. You are so dear to me. You, flagged walks of the cities. You, strong curbs at the edges. You, ferries. You, planks and posts of wharves. You, timber-lined sides. You, distant ships. You, rows of houses. You, window-pierced facades. You, roofs. You, porches and entrances. You, copings and iron guards. You, windows whose transparent shells might expose so much. You, doors and ascending steps. You, arches. You, gray stones of interminable pavements. You, trodden crossings. From all that has touched you, I believe you have imparted to yourselves and now would impart the same secretly to me. From the living and the dead, you have peopled your impassive surfaces, and the spirits thereof would be evident and amicable with me. The earth expanding right hand and left hand, the picture alive every part in its best light, the music falling in where it is wanted and stopping where it is not wanted, the cheerful voice of the public road, the gay, fresh sentiment of the road. O highway I travel, do you say to me, do not leave me? Do you say, venture not, if you leave me you are lost? Do you say, I am already prepared, I am well beaten and undenied, adhere to me? O public road, I say back, I am not afraid to leave you, yet I love you. You express me better than I can express myself. You shall be more to me than my poem. I think heroic deeds were all conceived in the open air, and all free poems also. I think I could stop here myself and do miracles. I think whatever I shall meet on the road I shall like, and whoever beholds me shall like me. I think whoever I see must be happy. From this hour, I ordain myself loosed of limits and imaginary lines, going where I list, my own master, total and absolute, listening to others, considering well what they say, pausing, searching, receiving, contemplating, gently but with undeniable will, divesting myself of the holes that would hold me. I inhale great draughts of space. The east and the west are mine, and the north and the south are mine. I am larger, better than I thought. I did not know I held so much goodness. All seems beautiful to me. I can repeat over to men and women, you have done such good to me, I would do the same to you. I will recruit for myself and you as I go. I will scatter myself among men and women as I go. I will toss a new gladness and roughness among them. Whoever denies me, it shall not trouble me. Whoever accepts me, he or she shall be blessed and shall bless me. Now, if 1,000 perfect men were to appear, it would not amaze me. Now, if 1,000 beautiful forms of women appeared, it would not astonish me. Now I see the secret of the making of the best persons. It is to grow in the open air and to eat and sleep with the earth. Here a great personal deed has room. Such a deed seizes upon the hearts of the whole race of men. Its effusion of strength and will overwhelms law and mocks all authority and all argument against it. Here is the test of wisdom. Wisdom is not finally tested in schools. Wisdom cannot be passed from one having it to another not having it. Wisdom is of the soul, is not susceptible of proof, is its own proof, applies to all stages and objects and qualities, and is content, is the certainty of the reality and immortality of things, and the excellence of things. Something there is in the float of the sight of things that provokes it out of the soul. Now I re-examine philosophies and religions. They may prove well in lecture rooms, yet not prove at all under the spacious clouds and along the landscape and flowing currents. Here is realization. Here is a man tallied. He realizes here what he has in him. The past, the future, majesty, love. If they are vacant of you, you are vacant of them. Only the kernel of every object nourishes. Where is he who tears off the husks for you and me? Where is he that undoes stratagems and envelopes for you and me? Here is adhesiveness. It is not previously fashioned. It is apropos. Do you know what it is as you pass to be loved by strangers? Do you know the talk of those turning eyeballs? Here is the efflux of the soul. The efflux of the soul comes from within, through embowered gates, ever provoking questions. These yearnings, why are they? These thoughts in the darkness, why are they? Why are there men and women that while they are nigh me, the sunlight expands my blood? Why, when they leave me, do my penance of joy sink flat and lank? Why are there trees I never walk under, but large and melodious thoughts descend upon me. I think they hang there winter and summer on those trees and always drop fruit as I pass. What is it I interchange so suddenly with strangers? What with some drivers I ride on the seat by his side? What with some fisherman drawing his seine by the shore as I walk by and pause? What gives me to be free to a woman's and man's goodwill? What gives them to be free to mine? The efflux of the soul is happiness. Here is happiness. I think it pervades the open air, waiting at all times. Now it flows unto us, we are rightly charged. Here rises the fluid and attaching character. The fluid and detaching character is the freshness and sweetness of man and woman. The herbs of the morning sprout no fresher and sweeter every day out of the roots of themselves than it sprouts fresh and sweet continually out of itself. Toward the fluid and detaching character exudes the sweat of the love of young and old. From it falls distilled the charm that mocks beauty and attainments. Toward it heaves the shuddering, longing ache of content. Alone, whoever you are, come travel with me. Traveling with me, you find what never tires. The earth never tires. The earth is rude, silent, incomprehensible at first. Nature is rude and incomprehensible at first. Be not discouraged. Keep on. There are divine things well enveloped. I swear to you, there are divine things more beautiful than words can tell. Along, we must not stop here. However sweet these laid-up stores, however convenient this dwelling, we cannot remain here. However sheltered this port, and however calm these waters, we must not anchor here. However welcome the hospitality that surrounds us, we are permitted to receive it but a little while. Alone, the inducement shall be greater. We will sail pathless and wild seas. We will go where the winds blow, waves dash, and the Yankee clipper speeds by under full sail. Alone, with power, liberty, the earth, the elements, health, defiance, gaiety, self-esteem, curiosity, alone from all formules, from your formules, O bat-eyed and materialistic priests, the stale cadaver blocks up the passage, the burial waits no longer. Alone, yet take warning. He traveling with me needs the best blood, thews, endurance. None may come to the trial till he or she bring courage and health. Come not here if you have already spent the best of yourself. Only those may come who come in sweet and determined bodies. No diseased person, no rum drinker or venereal taint is permitted here. I and mine do not convince by arguments, similes, rhymes. We convince by our presence. Listen, I will be honest with you. I do not offer the old smooth prizes, but offer rough new prizes. These are the days that must happen to you. You shall not heap up what is called riches. You shall scatter with lavish hand all that you earn or achieve. You but arrive at the city to which you are destined. You hardly settle yourself to satisfaction before you are called by an irresistible call to depart. You shall be treated to the ironical smiles and mockings of those who remain behind you. What beckonings of love you receive, you shall only answer with passionate kisses of parting. You shall not allow the hold of those who spread their reached hands toward you. Along, after the great companions, and to belong to them, they too are on the road. They are the swift and majestic men. They are the greatest women, enjoyers of calms of seas and storms of seas, sailors of many a ship, walkers of many a mile of land, habitués of many distant countries, habitués of far distant dwellings, trusters of men and women, observers of cities, solitary toilers, pausers and contemplators of tufts, blossoms, shells of the shore, dancers at wedding dances, kissers of brides, tender helpers of children, bearers of children, soldiers of revolts, standers by gaping graves, lowerers down of coffins, journeyers over consecutive seasons, over the years, the curious years, each emerging from that which preceded it, journeyers as with companions, namely their own diverse phases, fourth steppers from the latent unrealized baby days, journeyers gaily with their own youth, journeyers with their bearded and well-grained manhood, journeyers with their own sublime old age of manhood or womanhood. Old age, calm, expanded, broad with the haughty breath of the universe. Old age, flowing free with the delicious nearby freedom of death. Along to that which is endless as it was beginningless. To undergo much, tramps of days, rests of nights, to merge all in the travel they tend to, and the days and nights they tend to, again to merge them in the start of superior journeys, to see nothing anywhere but what you may reach it and pass it, to conceive no time, however distant, but what you may reach it and pass it, to look up or down no road but it stretches and waits for you, however long but it stretches and waits for you, to see no being, not gods or any, but you also go thither. To see no possession, but you may possess it, enjoying all without labor or purchase, abstracting the feast, yet not abstracting one particle of it. To take the best of the farmer's farm, and the rich man's elegant villa, and the chaste blessings of the well-married couple, and the fruits of orchards and flowers of gardens, to take to your use out of the compact cities as you pass through, to carry buildings and streets with you afterward wherever you go, to gather the minds of men out of their brains as you encounter them, to gather the love out of their hearts, to take your lovers on the road with you for all that you leave them behind you, to know the universe itself as a road, as many roads, as roads for traveling souls. All parts away for the progress of souls, all religion, all solid things, arts, governments, all that was or is apparent upon this globe or any globe falls into niches and corners before the procession of souls along the grand roads of the universe. Of the progress of the souls of men and women along the grand roads of the universe, all other progress is the needed emblem and sustenance. Forever alive, forever forward, stately, solemn, sad, withdrawn, baffled, mad, turbulent, feeble, dissatisfied, desperate, proud, fond, sick, accepted by men, rejected by men, they go, I know that they go, but I know not where they go, but I know that they go toward the best, toward something great. Whoever you are, come forth. Or man or woman, come forth. You must not stay sleeping and dallying there in the house, though you built it or though it has been built for you. Out of the dark confinement, out from behind the screen. It is useless to protest. I know all and expose it. Behold, through you as bad as the rest, through the laughter, dancing, dining, supping of people, inside of dresses and ornaments, inside of those washed and trimmed faces, behold, a secret, silent loathing and despair. No husband, no wife, no friend trusted to hear the confession. Another self, a duplicate of everyone, skulking and hiding it goes, formless and wordless through the streets of the cities, polite and bland in the parlors, in the cars of railroads, in steamboats, in the public assembly, home to the houses of men and women, at the table, in the bedroom, everywhere, smartly attired, countenance smiling, form upright, death under the breastbones, hell under the skull bones, under the broadcloth and gloves, under the ribbons and artificial flowers, keeping fair with the customs, speaking not a syllable of itself, speaking of anything else, but never of itself.
This is Catherine Hastings, and you're listening to Word Temple on KRCB 91.1 FM. Let's return now to Ed Begley Sr., performing poems by Walt Whitman.
Along through struggles and wars, the goal that was named cannot be countermanded. Have the past struggles succeeded? What has succeeded? Yourself? Your nation? Nature? Now understand me well. It is provided in the essence of things that from any fruition of success, no matter what, shall come forth something to make a greater struggle necessary. My call is the call of battle. I nourish active rebellion. He going with me must go well armed. He going with me goes often with spare diet, poverty, angry enemies, desertions. Along, the road is before us. It is safe. I have tried it. My own feet have tried it well. Be not detained. Let the paper remain on the desk unwritten and the book on the shelf unopened. Let the tools remain in the workshop. Let the money remain unearned. Let the school stand. Mind not the cry of the teacher. Let the preacher preach in his pulpit. Let the lawyer plead in the court and the judge expound the law. Camarado, I give you my hand. I give you my love, more precious than money. I give you myself before preaching or law. Will you give me yourself? Will you come travel with me? Shall we stick by each other as long as we live? When lilacs last in the dooryard bloomed, and the great star early drooped in the western sky in the night, I mourned, and yet shall mourn with ever-returning spring. Ever-returning spring, Trinity, sure to me you bring, lilac, blooming perennial, and drooping star in the west, and thought of him I love. O powerful western fallen star, O shades of night, O moody tearful night, O great star disappeared, O the black murk that hides the star, O cruel hands that hold me powerless, O helpless soul of me, O harsh surrounding cloud that will not free my soul. In the dooryard fronting an old farmhouse, near the whitewashed palings, stands the lilac bush, tall growing with heart-shaped leaves of rich green, with many a pointed blossom rising delicate, with the perfume strong I love, with every leaf a miracle. And from this bush in the dooryard, with delicate colored blossom and heart-shaped leaves of rich green, a sprig with its flower I break. In the swamp, in secluded recesses, a shy and hidden bird is warbling a song. Solitary the thrush, the hermit withdrawn to himself, avoiding the settlements, sings by himself a song. Song of the bleeding throat, death's outlet song of life. For well, dear brother, I know, if thou wast not granted to sing, thou wouldst surely die. Over the breast of the spring, the land, amid cities, amid lanes, and through old woods, where lately the violets peeped from the ground, spotting the gray debris, amid the grass in the fields, each side of the lanes, passing the endless grass, passing the yellow-speared wheat, every grain from its shroud in the dark brown fields uprisen, passing the apple tree blows of white and pink in the orchards, carrying a corpse to where it shall rest in the grave, night and day journeys a coffin. Coffin that passes through lanes and streets, through day and night, with the great cloud darkening the land, with the pomp of the inlooped flags, with the cities draped in black, with the show of the states themselves as of crepe-veiled women standing, with processions long and winding, and the flambeaux of the night, with the countless torches lit, with the silent sea of faces and the unbared heads, with the waiting depot, the arriving coffin, and the somber faces, with dirges through the night, with the thousand voices rising strong and solemn, with all the mournful voices of the dirges poured around the coffin, the dim-lit churches and the shuddering organs, where amid these you journey, with the tolling, tolling bells' perpetual clang. Here, coffin that slowly passes, I give you my sprig of lilac. Nor for you, for one alone, blossoms and branches green to coffins all I bring, for fresh as the morning, thus would I chant a song for you, O sane and sacred death. All over bouquets of roses, O death, I cover you over with roses and early lilies, but mostly and now the lilac that blooms the first, copious I break. I break the sprigs from the bushes, with loaded arms I come, pouring for you and the coffins, all of you, O death. O western orb sailing the heaven, now I know what you must have meant as, a month since, I walked. As I walked in silence the transparent, shadowy night, as I saw you had something to tell, as you bent to me night after night, as you drooped from the sky, low down as if to my side, while the other stars all looked down, as we wandered together the solemn night, or something, I know not what, kept me from sleep, as the night advanced, and I saw on the rim of the west how full you were of woe, as I stood on the rising ground in the breeze in the cool, transparent night, as I watched where you passed and was lost in the netherward black of the night, as my soul in its trouble, dissatisfied, sank, as where you, sad orb, concluded, dropped in the night and was gone. Sing on there in the swamp, O singer bashful and tender, I hear your notes, I hear your call, I hear, I come presently, I understand you, but a moment I linger, for the lustrous star has detained me, the star, my departing comrade, holds and detains me. Oh, how shall I warble myself for the dead one there I loved? And how shall I deck my song for the large, sweet soul that is gone? And what shall my perfume be for the grave of him I love? Sea winds blown from east and west, blown from the eastern sea and blown from the western sea, till there on the prairies meeting, thee and with thee and the breath of my chant, I'll perfume the grave of him I love. Oh, what shall I hang on the chamber walls? And what shall the pictures be that I hang on the walls to adorn the burial house of him I love? Pictures of growing spring and farms and homes, with the fourth month eve at sundown and the gray smoke lucid and bright, with floods of the yellow gold of the gorgeous, indolent, sinking sun burning, expanding the air, with the fresh, sweet herbage underfoot and the pale, green leaves of the trees prolific. In the distance, the flowing glaze, the breast of the river, with a wind apple here and there, with ranging hills on the banks, with many a line against the sky, and shadows, and the city at hand, with dwellings so dense, and stacks of chimneys, and all the scenes of life, and the workshops, and the workmen homeward returning. Lo, body and soul, this land, my own Manhattan with spires, and the sparkling and hurrying tides, and the ships, the varied and ample land, the south and the north in the light, Ohio shores and flashing Missouri, and ever the far-spreading prairies covered with grass and corn. Lo, the most excellent sun, so calm and haughty, the violet and purple morn with just felt breezes, the gentle, soft-born, measureless light, the miracle, spreading, bathing all, the fulfilled noon, the coming eve, delicious, the welcome night and the stars, over my cities shining all, enveloping man and land. Sing on, you gray-brown bird, sing from the swamps, the recesses, pour your chant from the bushes, limitless out of the dusk, out of the cedars and pines. Sing on, dearest brother, warble your reedy song, loud human song, with voice of uttermost woe. O liquid and free and tender, O wild and loose to my soul, O wondrous singer, you only I hear. Yet the star holds me, but will soon depart. Yet the lilac with mastering odor holds me.
This is Catherine Hastings, and you're listening to Word Temple on KRCB 91.1 FM. You've been listening to Ed Begley Sr. performing poems by Walt Whitman. These poems and others are available on Cademan's Essential Walt Whitman. Walt Whitman inspired hundreds, if not thousands, of poems and pieces of music. Earlier in the show, I played Hugo Vasquez and Mario Avila performing Oda a Walt Whitman. Up next is baritone Stephen Kimbrough with Dalton Baldwin on piano performing from Kurt Vile's Walt Whitman Cycle, O Captain, My Captain. I hope you enjoyed tonight's program. If you have any comments or questions, please contact me at khastings@wordtemple.com. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. flowers and ribboned wreaths. For you the shores are crowding, for you they call the swaying mass. Ship comes in with object. Oh.